Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up today. What we've been reflecting on this week is really the last judgment, the four last things, heaven, hell, purgatory, the judgment. Again, this is all about the season that we're journeying through together as brothers and sisters, and it's the church and her love leading us through the season of Lent, this penitential season, the time to examine our lives in relationship to revelation, to God's plan and purpose, to his eternal perspective for us, to kind of allow the Holy Spirit to raise up in us a deep sense of urgency, to have that posture of being watchful and being vigilant. I'm grateful for it. It's a difficult season sometimes, but I'm grateful for it because it is very easy living in this world, the fallen world, the world, the flesh and the devil. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. And we also live in an economy and in a world where we're perpetually being doted on, you might say. We're always being led to ever greater distractions, ever greater comforts, more and more consumption, more and more distraction, more and more pleasure, and it gets more and more intense all the time. And markets and people driving markets are trying to find ways to get us perpetually connected to these kinds of things. And the reality is they are dangerous, spiritually dangerous, because they put us to sleep. I mean, we have to agree to do it, but they distract us at a level, consume our time, consume our interest, get us self-focused and perpetually thinking about how to bring about more comfort in our lives. You get what I'm saying. I don't have to keep talking about it, but that's the environment we're living in. That's the challenge. And what's meant to characterize the Christian, the disciple, is an alert mind, is a sense of urgency and watchfulness, being awake, being able to stand, being ready to die at any point, living in such a way that I'm ready to die. You know I'm going to die. I don't know when. It could come soon. It could come, you know, decades from now, but it's going to come. And it's important for us to live in such a way that we're ready to die. And that's partly what this season is about. It's about cutting away the distractions and the habit patterns that we develop within ourselves that are self-oriented, disordered kind of love that's not focused first on God and neighbor, which is the purifying orientation that the Lord seeks to produce in us. So I want to talk today the section in the Catechism on the Last Judgment, paragraphs 1038 and following. It says, "The resurrection of all the dead, of both the just and the unjust, will precede the last judgment. This will be the hour when all who are in the tombs will hear the Son of Man's voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." That's interesting. The resurrection of life with Lord, and then some will rise to appear before the judgment seat of Christ there. So then Christ will come in his glory and all the angels with him. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Those are the words of Jesus. That's the teaching of the church. That's what's going to happen. And so it's crucial, really, that we internalize it, that we let it shape us, that we receive the words as Jesus gave them, and as the church teaches them and has taught them throughout the ages. Paragraph 1039. In the presence of Christ, who is truth itself, the truth of each man's relationship with God will be laid bare. That's a frightening prospect. Each man's relationship with God will be laid bare. That is the exposure of the human heart right to the core. What is it that you really wanted? What is it that I really wanted? Did I want God? I mean, the real God, not the God I make up. Did I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's the big question. It's what the Holy Spirit has been given to empower us and to help us do. And maybe to some people it may not seem fair or too harsh of a judgment or too high of an expectation, but it's not really. That's a deception. We were made for love. We were made for God. God sent forth his Son into the world to make it possible for us to live in that love. He's given us the power of the Spirit within us. And so what it comes right down to is, what is it that we want? If we seek him, we'll find him. If we hunger and thirst for him, we will find him. And we will love him. And he'll produce in us this life that we see in the person of Jesus. Paragraph 1039 continues. The last judgment will reveal even to its furthest consequences the good each person has done or failed to do during his earthly life. I like to think about this, that our deeds, our good deeds will echo into eternity, that every little deed of love matters to God, even giving a prophet a little glass of water, you know, serving a sick neighbor, whatever it is, just the little ways in which we love in our homes, with our children, with our neighbors. It doesn't have to be, you know, something writ large that everybody sees on television. God sees. God sees the heart. And little acts of love matter much more than big, giant, globally perceived acts of ego. Take, for example, this has popped into my mind. I'm going to say it. The Super Bowl halftime show. Okay, the Super Bowl is the, you know, one of the biggest global events of the year, like a billion people watch it, something like that, maybe more. And here you have an opportunity to entertain people, and what they end up doing is this very fleshy, sensual, foolish, unwise, and I think, you know, sinful production. So you have a chance to use a talent and use talents that honor God. Doesn't have to be a church service, but you can do a lot to honor God, a lot of different ways to use gifts like that. But instead, it's sleazy, it's fleshy, it's disordered in different ways. Instead, you could do something that could echo in eternity. Now, that's noticed by everybody, and people are going to get rewarded. They make a lot of money afterwards. They get recognition, and it becomes the buzz, the global buzz among the entertainment world and the rest. And it all seems important. In the big picture, it's meaningless in the sense of its value. It is important because people who give themselves to stuff like that put themselves in spiritual danger. But let me tell you what's bigger news than all that is the hidden love of someone that nobody notices. The love, again, visiting a sick person or loving a family member, loving someone who's hard to love, somebody who mistreats you and you treat them with love and respect. Nobody notices it. It's not up in lights. You're not making money for it. You're not being given more trophies for it. All that other stuff just melts away. It's going to pass away. But love like that will echo into eternity. That's what the Lord loves. Paragraph 1040, the last judgment will come when Christ returns in glory. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. Only he determines the moment of its coming. Then through his Son, Jesus Christ, he will pronounce the final word on all history. We shall know the ultimate meaning of the whole work of creation and the entire economy of salvation and understand the marvelous ways by which his providence led everything towards its final end. That is a beautiful paragraph. Let me read it again. Then through his Son, Jesus Christ, he will pronounce the final word on all of history. That's why it's a good idea to be on his side. That's why it's a good idea to align yourself now with his evaluation and what he says is meaningful. Because in the end, friends, every wise man in this world, every powerful man or woman in this world, everybody who asserted their will over large or small groupings of people, who defined reality on their own terms, will be exposed as a charlatan, as a liar, as a deceiver. Jesus is the only one who has the final word on all of human history. He's going to judge. And he's already told us the truth upon which that judgment will take place. He already told us what really matters, and definitively everyone will know it. He says, we shall know the ultimate meaning of the whole work of creation and the entire economy of salvation. It's all going to get revealed. We will be overwhelmed. We'll be stunned. We'll be amazed. We'll be delighted. Others will beat their chests, will stand in horror. Those who rejected God and God's plan and didn't want to welcome it then and probably will be in a position of not wanting to welcome it even, you know, in the last hour when it's revealed. The last judgment will reveal that God's justice triumphs over all the injustices committed by his creatures, and that God's love is stronger than death. Not just love is stronger than death. God's love in his Son Jesus is stronger than death. I want to live in a love. I want to lay hold of a love that is actually stronger than death. And the world is wrong, you know, in some of the love that it sings about, that whatever love I define, whatever I define as love, is stronger than death. It's not. It's the love of God that's poured out in Jesus. Many, many people are signing on for definitions of reality, definitions of human, the meaning of human relationships. They want to call love. And they're saying love wins, love triumphs. And there's kind of echoes like pulling in Christian overtones to this stuff. But there's only one love that conquers. It's the love of God poured out in Christ Jesus. It's not my love, my way, my truth, all that. That's not true. The love of Christ is what brought down the kingdom of darkness and is stronger than death. It's that love that's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Paragraph 1041, the message of the last judgment calls men to conversion while God is still giving them the acceptable time and the day of salvation. Again, that's directly from Scripture. That's the urgent preaching. And the church, I just pray that the church could become more prophetic like Jesus was. You know, he's often referred to as a prophet, that he spoke like a prophet with urgency, with zeal for God's house, with healthy fear of the Lord and great courage, and saying the acceptable time is now for salvation. Paragraph continues that it inspires a holy fear of God and commits them to the justice of the kingdom of God. It proclaims the blessed hope of the Lord's return when he will come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all who believed. That's also from the New Testament, from St. Paul, to be glorified by his saints, to be marveled at in all who have believed. And for all those who died in Christ, the glory and the majesty of Christ will be given to them, and they'll be filled with it, and the freedom and the new creation of the sons and daughters of God, the whole participation, the beauty and the majesty that's going to explode from the person of Jesus Christ to transform everything, will catch up all those who die in him. May we be in that train. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.